This is Generation Justice, a multiracial project that trains youth to harness the power of community through media, narrative, and critical consciousness. I'm Elijah Cage.
And I'm Lily Lukow. We want to remind you that this program broadcasts from the rightful lands of the Tiwa people.
Generation Justice brings you a very special Earth Day program. Earth Day is tomorrow, April 22nd.
Elijah, did you know New Mexico has one of the original founders of Earth Day right here?
Yes, Lily. Arturo Sandoval, founding director of the Center of Southwest Culture and the Western Regional Coordinator for the very first Earth Day back in 1970. And we get to listen to his own story on the creation of Earth Day.
After many contributions to environmental and economic justice, Mr. Sandoval became the founding director of Center of Southwest Culture. So this evening, we are happy to hear from the center's co-director, Kateri Zuni, and Sembrando Salud program manager, Jose Castro, as they share what they are currently working on. We hope you all enjoy both the history and the practices of honoring our ancestors in the 21st century, as well as Story Riders, their special bike project.
And we have our weekly vaccine equity segment to keep you safe from COVID-19 and other illnesses.
That's right. The first song of the night was selected by our guest, Jose Castro. Here is Solo Esperar by Orihuela M.S.S. Now we bring you the first part of our special Earth Day celebration and some history, as we have Arturo Sandoval, the founding director of the Center of Southwest Culture and a founding member of the national organizing team for the very first Earth Day in 1970.
Arturo has worked in civil rights, economic justice, human rights, educational disparity, and equity, as well as conservation efforts.
This evergreen interview about Earth Day was conducted by GJ's very own Victor Torres.
Hello, my name is Victor Torres with Generation Justice. I'm here today with Arturo Sandoval, a native New Mexican and founder and president of the Center of Southwest Culture. He was also the Western Regional Coordinator of the very first Earth Day. Arturo, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yes, I'm a native of New Mexico, as you mentioned earlier, born and raised in northern New Mexico to a very large family. But at a very early age, I became very concerned about a lot of critical issues facing our country. And I think that was a process of being in college, coming of age at the age of 18, 19. The fact that I actually came to university during a period of great upheaval and excitement in the country. There was the anti-war Vietnam movement. There was the Black Civil Rights Movement. There was the Chicano movement, starting the Chicano Civil Rights Movement. There was the women's rights movement starting. So as a young man, it was incredible to be able to see all these different movements happening. And I got really engaged in all of those issues at a very young age. So that's how I came to Earth Day. I saw that there was really a holistic approach to all of the issues we were facing, that I believe that a lot of the same people that caused bad housing or that were polluting rivers and companies like that were basically the same people that were discriminating against people because of the color of their skin or exploiting people for personal profit. So to me, I didn't see a difference between the women's rights movement, the Chicano civil rights movement, the Black civil rights movement, or in this case, what emerged as the environmental movement.
And you also founded the Center of Southwest Culture. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, I founded the Center of Southwest Culture about 21 years ago. And the reason I founded the center was I wanted to have a formal institutional setting, a way for me to be able to impact communities, to build healthy communities, especially in underserved communities, especially Latino and Native American communities. So the center works to create healthy people and healthy communities, mostly in what we call the greater Southwest. So that means northern Mexico and the greater U.S. Southwest. And we do it through economic development. We do it through cultural and educational programs. So I've been at that formally for 21 years, but I've actually been engaged in building community for about 46 years since I was a young man of about 18.
Well, that's amazing that you have been at it that long. On the very first Earth Day, you were quoted as saying, "We are going to make people understand that the kind of things that cause air pollution and water pollution are the same kinds of things that cause poverty, that cause hunger in this country." What did you mean by that? And is it still true today?
Yes. And I think what I meant by that was that the same kind of values that would make people think that it's all right to pollute the planet, that to use our very limited water resources with no interest or concern about the consequences of how they're destroying these very critical resources of land and air and water for the simple purpose of creating personal wealth, are the same core group of people, or the same people who share the value that think it's okay to exploit people. And if you think it's okay to exploit both the natural resources of the planet, I believe you're the same kind of person that thinks it's okay to exploit people because of the color of their skin, or because they have a disability, or because they're a woman. So I believe that then, and I think, and that's why I got so deeply engaged in Earth Day and organizing the first Earth Day. But it's why I continue to do the work, because I know that the problems we had 42 years ago in Earth Day are just as bad, if not worse. In some areas we've improved, and in other areas it's gotten worse.
I think that it's still going on today, and I think we have made a lot of improvements. And there seemed to be a lot going on around the country. Can you tell me what else was going on and why people really wanted to make Earth Day and really wanted to bring environmental issues?
Well, it was a period of great activism, as I told you, with the Black Civil Rights Movement, the Chicano Civil Rights Movement, the Women's Movement. So people were already very active. And the idea of spending a day on behalf of the Earth, demonstrating on behalf of the Earth, really resonated at that point in America. So on Earth Day, there were more than 20 million people out doing peaceful, positive activities all over the country. More than 20 million Americans turned out. And it's still the single largest civil action in the history of the United States. So I'm very proud to have been a very small part of that. But what happened then, the reason that people responded is, for example, we were polluting all of our rivers. Our rivers are actually catching fire. I forget which river it was, that maybe it was in Pittsburgh or in Ohio, where there was a chemical company putting so many chemicals out there that one night there was a fire started on a little boat, and the whole river looked like the water was burning because it had so many chemicals. And I think that image went across the country, and it startled people into thinking, oh my God, I mean, is that the level we've gotten to? So as a result of Earth Day, a lot of major initiatives were enacted at the national level. So the Clean Air and Water Act was passed. The EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, was started. There was just a whole bunch of formal legislation that was passed unanimously by a bipartisan support in both houses of Congress and by then President Nixon, of all people. And we were able to clean up the rivers and make our air a lot safer. So in that way, we've gotten really good. The long-term deficit, the things we didn't realize, was that value, that negative, what I call a negative value, that people think they can enrich themselves personally at the expense of everyone else on the planet, continues to be a very dominant theme in most capitalist systems. So it's unfortunate that that's still there. Now we're facing global warming, and you know, the planet really is in peril. And you never want to just, you don't want to say, oh, the planet's dying. But there's serious issues, and we really need to address them. And the first Earth Day has obviously not solved that problem. So it's important for all of us, especially youth, to really get involved at a local level in trying to figure out, how can I help just every day in some small way? What's one little thing I can do every day that makes the planet healthier?
Yeah, I think it's important to keep on, because we have to live on this planet, and it's our duty to take care of it and to make sure that we're doing all we can.
Absolutely. And I think we're all connected. And I've always thought, Victor, that I've always thought back to my great-grandfather, who was named Leonardo Sanchez. He was a land grant member in the Tecolote land grant in San Miguel County in northern New Mexico. And he was an activist in fighting against the encroachment, the fact that their common lands, their Mexicano lands, were being stolen by outside people who wanted to take their land for their own purposes. It's the same thing that's happening with when you pollute a river. You're taking something that does not belong to you for your own personal gain. And he was what they called the Goras Blancas. They were fighters against this encroachment. And my grandfather was one of those people. So that was more than 100 years ago, 120, 30 years ago. Yeah. But I see myself as part of a long connection of people in history. So my role is to do my part in my lifetime and to honor my grandfather by my work and to encourage my children. And now I have a beautiful new one-year-old grandson. Is I need to pass along the torch to him so that he understands that it's important that he work to save the planet and to work for peace and justice.
Well, that's great. And I'm glad there's people out there like you that are trying to pass on the torch for future generations.
Well, and I likewise think it's wonderful that there's people like you and Generation Justice that actually care enough at a young age to really want to make a difference. And not only do you want to, you actually are doing it at a much younger age than I was. So that's really fantastic. It makes me feel very proud to know that the younger generation does care and the younger generation is engaged. And I think you guys are a lot smarter than we are. I don't think we had Wheaties when I was a kid, and you guys do. So I can tell you guys are a lot sharper than we were back in the day.
Well, thank you for saying that. And so what can people still do to help and environmental issues?
Well, you know, it's such a huge problem that you think when you look at it, if you just started reading national media, you would think, well, there's nothing I can do. The problems are too big. But that's not true. There's something you can do every day here locally. If you're living in Albuquerque or in Santa Rosa or in Taos or in Española or in Las Cruces, there's something you can do as a human being. There's great energy that each human has. And we can expend that energy in a positive way locally, doing things locally. So there's a lot of things you can do. You can start by just changing your lifestyle a little bit to use less water every day. We live in a desert. That would be good. But there's a lot of things you can do. You can lobby your legislators. You can write letters to the editor when you see issues and you want them to do something about it. You can organize like Generation Justice does. You organize with other young people and you go meet with people that are in power and you say, this has to change. And I think that does have impact. I know it does have impact because in my own life, I have seen people change behaviors just because they got organized and they stayed at it and they did the work. Each of us in our own village, our own town, our own city, each of us can change the world for the better.
Yes, I think that's important that the younger generation know what is going on and just so they can be able to change things and to help out in their communities. So I think that's important. Like you said, everybody can make a difference. So I think that's very profound. Listeners that haven't really been involved in Earth Day, why would you encourage them?
I don't like to be an alarmist, but I do think the Earth is under enormous stress because of human actions. And I think those actions can be curtailed. We have the power as intelligent human beings to stop the kinds of activities we're doing now that are really putting a huge amount of stress on the system, on the planet's system. So as long as we have a choice and that it's still not too late, I think everybody has an opportunity to get involved in trying to convince those people in power that are creating these issues and these problems that they need to stop. And we can do it. And it doesn't require an armed struggle or an armed revolution. It requires people really committed to the issues and people willing to devote their life. Because I started Earth Day in 42 years. I helped start Earth Day 42 years ago. But the struggle goes on. I have to do something every day. And I do something every day. I try to commit myself every day to make the planet a better place.
So is that, like you said, people can make a difference and you just have to be deeply engaged. Brian, is there anything else you would like to add?
No, I'm very hopeful and I'm very hopeful for the next generation. And I'm, as I say, I'm honored to be to know a lot of the people in Generation Justice. You're all really brilliant young people. And I feel better. I sleep better at night knowing that you guys are out here actually trying to change the world in a positive way. It makes me feel a lot better about the future of the planet.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for being a role model to us. You've done. Thank you for being in your community, working hard to make a difference. So thank you for your time. And I really enjoyed this interview.
And I likewise, thank you so much.
Thank you, Arturo, for creating something that is still celebrated and setting a foundation for people to care about the Earth. And thank you for the work you do in communities to inspire and create a safe haven for many.
Our next song is Siembra, or So, by Grupo Realengo. This song, which is in Spanish, was written as a tribute to all of the people who sow and harvest the earth.
Siembra la tierra con cariño. Le das al pueblo el milagro de estar vivo. Y siembra justicia con cariño. Que tu cosecha es la riqueza de esta tierra.
On this Earth Day edition of Generation Justice, we uplift the essential work of the Center of Southwest Culture. Now we bring you an informational interview with our very own Kateri Zuni, who is the co-director of the Center of Southwest Culture, along with Arturo Sandoval. Kateri is GJ family and was a core member of our team for 5 years, where she served as youth coordinator and radio producer.
We are also joined by Jose Castro, who is program manager of their Sembrando Salud program.
Here is Barbara Ramirez speaking with Kateri Zuni and Jose Castro.
This is Barbara Ramirez with Generation Justice, and I'm speaking with Kateri Zuni and Jose Castro from the Center of Southwest Culture. Kateri Zuni is a proud daughter of the Isleta and Zuni Pueblos. She has a bachelor's degree from UNM in multimedia journalism and political science. She earned her master's in studies of law with a concentration in Indian law from the UNM School of Law in 2019. Kateri joined the Center of Southwest Culture in 2021 after spending 2 years as a board member and became the co-director in 2024. And Kateri is Generation Justice family, as she previously worked as a radio producer and youth coordinator for Generation Justice, where she was trained in positive youth development practices and radio and media production through a racial equity lens. Kateri was awarded the 2018 New Economy Coalition Climate Reporting Fellowship as a result of her work at Generation Justice. Welcome, Kateri.
Thank you so much for having me back, Barbara. It's great to be in this space with you.
I also want to share, before I move on to introducing our next guest, that Kateri Zuni was my teacher. She trained me on how to be the associate producer, how to edit, how to produce radio, and I'm just so grateful to be conducting this interview today. And I'm also very excited to be joined by Jose Castro, who is the Sembrando Salud Program Manager at the Center of Southwest Culture. Jose was born in Mexico City and raised in New Mexico. He graduated from Central New Mexico Community College and holds degrees in integrated studies, tourism, and hospitality. Currently, Jose is pursuing a bachelor's in marketing. In his support of the CODESE program, Jose serves as the linchpin for logistical and administrative coordination, acting as the primary point of contact for farmers and collaborating organizations. He ensures seamless support for farmers by providing translations, essential supplies, and guidance through critical business processes, tailoring his assistance to meet their specific needs. Jose actively recruits participants for the Sembrando Salud program and collaborates closely with diverse organizations and community leaders to address nutrition access barriers. He's also a certified trainer for Tier 1 and Tier 2 food safety training and Produce Safety Alliance grower training, a vital program for New Mexico small farmers. Welcome, Jose. It's a pleasure to have you.
Igual, muchas gracias. Thank you for having me.
Bienvenido.
Gracias.
I've shared a little bit of your bios, but what else would you like our audience to know about you? And let's start with you, Kateri. Tell us more about yourself.
Outside of my identity as a Puebla woman, I'm very happy to and also grateful to be a person who works for community organizations. That's something that Generation Justice introduced me to. And it's really become a part of not only who I am, but what makes me proud of myself. And I really appreciate the space to come back and share everything that I've learned in this new part of my life. But also recognizing that, it's nice to be home in that way. I also have a son who's 15, going to be 16, and my spouse, who I've been married to for just as many years. And we've made a very happy home in New Mexico and Albuquerque, and that's why I love to do what I do.
Thank you so much. Jose?
Well, my grandfather, may he rest in peace, was a farmer in Michoacán. And he, even though he worked a lot of hectáreas, or in this case, a lot of acres of, sugar cane, a lot of aguacate, a lot of different vegetables, it seemed that he never was able to, go forward in his finances. And it was always because the farmer at the end of the day always had the short end of the stick. And the work that I do now, with gardeners and farmers, is definitely something that I don't think he really saw me working in the fields anymore. But I came back not to work the fields necessarily, but to represent and to work for the people that my grandfather was. I'm happy and I'm glad that I get to do the work I get to do.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Earlier in the program, we were listening to an evergreen interview with the founder and currently co-director of the Center of Southwest Culture, Arturo Sandoval, who also contributed to making Earth Day possible. How has Arturo's commitment to environmental justice influenced your work at the center?
I think it's really easy to see how that first kind of seed that Arturo planted in terms of working on Earth Day and organizing with that understanding that we need to come together community-wide and nationwide and worldwide to protect the environment, that seed can still be found in the center through the specific types of programs that we have. And not only the types of programs, but the reason that we do those programs. So it's all to serve our Indigenous and Mexicano and Chicano communities who have been in this land, in this place, for centuries and beyond. I think Arturo makes it clear in that particular interview that, the same places that pollution comes from and inequitable housing comes from and all of this plethora of byproducts of racism and colonization all come from the same people who are still working with their very last breath to take what's beautiful from our people. So that is our land, our water, our resources. So every program that the center has is really to try and address a piece of what makes us healthy as a whole. So it's either aimed at growing our own food so that we can have nutrition access and agency over what goes into our body, or the Codice program, where it's aimed at supporting our farmers and people who are growing food on the whole for a community, or people who have interest in building their own resources through small businesses to take control and agency of their economic health that way and be able to provide for their families and the people to come after them. The work that we do with our Story Writers program is geared towards young people to make sure that they understand the connection that not only they themselves, but that their ancestors always had to the natural world around them and the space around them, and give them the tools that they need to move safely and securely through those spaces and have that kind of agency for themselves as well. And even in our services to the nonprofit sector, where we work with local small grassroots organizations to try and build, again, that agency and that ability to move in spaces that are often dominated by people who are trying to take those things from us. So whether it be work that they do through art, language preservation, also farming, things like that, all of those programs are meant to really bring our agency and our power back to our people and together make us strong enough together so that we can really fight this legacy of theft and of destruction that, you know, we're up against and that we've been up against for decades and decades.
Hillary, thank you so much for making that connection and talking more about how Arturo's commitment has influenced your work and the work that you do at the center. Jose?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mr. Arturo very often talks about being one of the few people of color at the first Earth Day and having that space for his community. So I think the center is definitely a reflection of that. Who we serve and who are the people that work at the center is all represented in the work that Arturo has done. So we are who we serve. We Mexicano, Chicano, indigenous communities. And I think that's a big thing because it allows us to be in spaces where a lot of people often don't have the best of experiences with other larger organizations. So having a familiar face telling you or explaining, you know, the different resources that they have available and being genuine with folks, I think is why people are willing to open their homes or open their doors and hear what we have to say and the services that we have to provide. I know in a lot of spaces there's folks that a lot of the information that they have available is not even in their language, speaking in Spanish. So having people and staff that can communicate with a huge population here in New Mexico is really, really helpful for folks. So I think Mr. Arturo has created a space where there is justice, where we are trying to do the work, and the people doing the work are also the people from the communities that were most affected.
Thank you so much, Jose. I can see how both of you are so passionate and dedicated to this work, and it's just exciting to see both of you talk about this. You briefly mentioned some of the programs that you offer at the Center of Southwest Culture. I would like to learn more about those programs. And I know that there's the Sembrando Salud program, Jose, that I'd like to talk with you about. But Kiru even mentioned a writer's program. I'm interested to learn about that too.
Yeah, so that's actually Story Writers. It's our youth cycling program, and it's R-I-D-E-R-S instead of writers with the W-R. And Story Writers basically provides the tools, the training, and the space for youth of color, typically between about 9 years to 18 years, the opportunity to experience outdoor recreation, which is typically, like a white-led space. When we think of outdoor recreation, it's not always inclusive of people of color, and especially not of young indigenous or Mexicano, Chicano, or POC kids who are coming from like under-resourced communities. So the way Story Writers addresses that is they provide what we call cycling excursions or sessions, where we take young people through and around the bosque, show them the natural, beauty and resource that is available in our traditional outdoor spaces. So they'll do things like art activities, they'll learn about herbs and plants and their traditional medicinal or culinary uses that communities have used them for centuries. They will sometimes speak and do elder interviews with farmers or people who have lived along the bosque forever. And they really get in that way a deep understanding of what it means to live in our community. They look at things like the climate impacts that have happened over the years and how that affects not only the land, but the cultures around it who depend on the land. And so that's a really great way that Story Writers is helping to develop that appreciation for young people. The other part of the program, though, before they even kind of head out into the bosque, is that Story Writers provides them bicycles, and they spend time training them on bicycle maintenance, the rules of the roads so that they can safely move through the community on their bike. They give them all of that training and all of those techniques so that they can continue to have that agency and have those opportunities well past being in the Story Writers program. And so we run off of donated bicycles, sometimes bike gear, and we fix them up with our team of experienced bike mechanics to get them ready. And it's a really great program. And it is another example of how the legacy of land preservation and understanding and celebration is being passed on to younger people. So we typically run that here in Albuquerque, but we also have done two pilot sessions down in my home of Isleta Pueblo, where Isleta youth have been able to experience Story Writers, but throughout the reservation down there. So
that sounds so fun and amazing. Thank you, Kateri. Jose, tell us more about Sembrando Salud.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Sembrando Salud in English is translated to Sowing Health. And it's the program that was created for communities of color, but specifically for the communities that we work with, Mexicano, Chicano, Indigenous communities, for food insecurity. And basically provides some very simple, but very useful supplies that families will need to start a backyard garden. So we supply them with several seeds, depending on the year. We'll give them from anywhere from like 7 different varieties, like up to 13 different varieties, a bag of a potting mix, a drip irrigation system, because a lot of the families that we work with happen to have, you know, a spigot they could connect to. And over the years, the program manager for our CODESE program, Emma Dewey, has been able to develop a little booklet where it shows like a beginner gardener like myself how to start a backyard garden from step A to all the way to step Z, from pest management control to how deep you should seed your seed, different ways of installing your drip irrigation and why that's important, and then calculating how much water you'll be needing. So that program has been really successful over the last 4 or 5 years that it's been running continually. Katie was actually the manager just last year, and she was running it for 3 years, and she's brought us up to date, and she's been really, really instrumental in getting that program running. Thanks to COVID, we started doing a lot of our workshops online via Zoom, and we're still doing it that way because the program does reach families all over the state. So we go as down south as Deming, New Mexico, as up north this year as Jicarilla Apache Nation, as west as Zuni Pueblo. So we're all over the state. So having that in mind, we do a lot of our workshops online via Zoom. And last year, we were able to provide enough seed kits for 420 families all over New Mexico, Mexicano, Chicano, Indigenous communities. And this year, we're in the middle of it, so we're not done quite delivering our supplies. But this year, we were able to collaborate with another nonprofit, and we gave out, other than the regular seed kits that we give to folks, we were also able to give 75 fruit trees and shade trees, which is was a pilot program for us this year. But I think folks are really they really love the trees, so we're trying to see if we could replicate the same thing for next year. But overall, Sembrando Salud is a program that empowers people to make a backyard garden in their own home. And it's not easy and it's not simple, but it gives you started with $100 value of supplies. If it goes well, you might even save $1,000 or $2,000 worth of groceries. And if it doesn't quite work well, well, don't worry, because next year we'll still be here and you'll have another chance.
Thank you so much. First of all, I want to say that I love the name Sembrando Salud, and I cannot count all the benefits that having your own garden could have to your health and to the health of your community. Are there any other programs that you'd like to mention at this time that you offer at the center?
Yes. So the sister program to Sembrando Salud is our community development center, our cul-de-sac. The community development center has been a project of the center for a little over 13 years, I think. And what we do there is really individualized and dedicated work with our local farmers, indigenous and Mexicano Chicano farmers in and around the Albuquerque South Valley area, but all across many rural towns and pueblos in New Mexico. With CODESE, which is run by our wonderful program manager and curriculum developer, Emma Dewey, we provide ongoing technical assistance, training in regenerative agriculture, which is to say indigenous agriculture. We provide things like supplies for folks to get their drip irrigation set up or their cover crop seeds. We do soil testing and water testing so that farmers have a really good in-depth understanding of the health of their land and soil before they can begin implementing regenerative practices. This is all with a goal to help our farmers get in the best possible position with the best possible land to produce the healthy organic food that their communities need. And on a plus side, if they can, also take some of that and turn it into supplemental income for themselves and their families. Another piece of work that CODESE does is we're beginning to get into the area of cultural tourism. So working with folks, especially out in rural and northern New Mexico communities, to use the resources that they have, like land, culture, language, to develop those into cultural tourism projects or agritourism projects so that they can control and sustain how they're able to make money on their own land and in their own communities. And again, supplement the income that they're able to bring in so that they can improve the economic health of themselves and their families. And in addition to that, we have our services to the nonprofit sector, where we provide fiscal sponsorship and some nonprofit leadership training or career development to smaller grassroots nonprofits. Because very often folks who are recognizing a need in their community that they would like to build a nonprofit or a grassroots group to serve, often they're not coming to nonprofit work with experience in nonprofit. They're sometimes teachers, sometimes they're health practitioners, a plethora of other careers that they're coming from. And so there's a pretty steep learning curve often so that people can get their nonprofit or their grassroots groups going. And so we provide services to kind of help people through that process of becoming a nonprofit or really building organizational capacity to be able to address the needs of their communities. And so those are the four major groups that the Center of Southwest Culture runs.
Thank you so much. Where can people go to find more information about the Center of Southwest Culture and the programs and resources that you offer?
Well, they can always visit us at our website, which is just centerofsouthwestculture.org. That's also how you can follow CSC on Facebook and Instagram. And Jose, I know, has handles for our Sembrando Salud program specifically.
Yeah, please follow us on Instagram at Sembrando Salud _SW. Or if you have questions about Sembrando Salud and you want to learn more information, but you don't have social media and you just want to call somebody and talk to somebody really quick, my phone number is 505-221-6602. And that's a hotline. You could call me or send me a text and I'll send you more information. And thank you so much for this space.
You can also follow our Community Development Center on Facebook and Instagram. They share a lot of resources that we have for farmers, and we like to highlight some of the farmers that we work with as well. So there's really great videos and stuff on there that you can also follow. And then, of course, Story Writers is available mostly on Instagram, but also on Facebook, and that's just Story Writers NM.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you would like to add before we end our conversation this evening?
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us. I appreciate the space that you provided for us. And as far as Sembrando Salud, I just want to say thank you. If anyone who has participated in the program, thank you for participating. I hope it was of blessing, and I hope that you'll be interested in participating even more. Hopefully next year we'll have way more trees and the program will just keep getting better and better. And if you ever like to donate, please go to our page at centersouthwestculture.org. There's a donate now button. Thank you.
Thank you. Gary?
Barbara, I just want to add that I'm so happy that I got to be interviewed by you, and that you've just a big shout out to what a wonderful radio producer you are. And thank you for keeping up the great work that Generation Justice does to always highlight community organizations who are doing great work. And I want to encourage everybody to visit us on social media, all of the social media pages that we have, and to learn more about the center, but also Arturo Sandoval, who's our founding director. So don't stop with Generation Justice. He's got plenty of stories out there, and they all deserve to be heard.
Thank you so much, Kateri. It's been an honor for me to interview both of you today. And I have so much love and respect and admiration for you. You're always going to be one of my maestras. And Jose, it's so admirable. Es muy admirable el trabajo que estás haciendo con el Centro de Southwest Culture. Yo pienso que es muy importante para nuestras familias mexicanas, familias hispanas, latinas, inmigrantes, que nos reconectemos a esto que es sembrar y convivir con la tierra y el medio ambiente.
Sí, creo que como familias latinas tenemos esos valores de la familia, de la tierra, de pues siempre estar haciendo algo, pero la forma de en realidad regresar y tener ese respeto a la madre que siempre nos dio de comer, que fue la tierra, pues es una forma de agradecerle a ella y también a todas las especies que hay en este mundo, o sea, desde los pájaros hasta los gusanos. Hay que tenerle el respeto y tenerle un lugar donde puedan comer. Así que te agradezco.
Thank you so much. For Generation Justice, I'm Barbara Ramirez.
Thank you, Kateri and Jose, for the beautiful work you are doing in honor and spirit as you nourish our lives through the protection of our precious earth. The Sembrando Salud program is a perfect example of providing life and love in our community.
Our next song was selected by our guest, Kateri Zuni. Here is Come and Get Your Love by Redbone. Our weekly vaccine equity segment aims to provide our listeners with updated information about COVID-19 and other respiratory virus infection rates, testing, vaccinations, and more. Tonight, we look at the current COVID-19 levels across the country.
That's right. Currently, COVID-19 levels continue to decline. However, as of April 2nd, New Mexico is experiencing very high levels of COVID-19 in our wastewater, which shows us that there is still a lot of viral activity going on in our community.
That's right. We still need to work on bringing these levels down in Mexico. Recent holiday gatherings like Easter can increase the likelihood of COVID-19 getting shared amongst families and increase the risk of serious infection.
Remember, when gathering with friends and family, or even going out to get groceries, wear a high-quality mask like an N95 or KN95. If you need help accessing high-quality masks, either due to a lack of stock in your local supermarket or high price, MaskBlock ABQ is committed to distributing high-quality masks in Albuquerque at no cost.
Yup, you're right, Lily. MaskBlock Albuquerque offers no-cost masks to folks in need. You can follow them on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter and request masks from them and coordinate a local spot to pick them up.
That's all we have for our vaccine equity segment. Remember to stay updated on your COVID-19 immunizations and practice COVID-19 mitigation.
Now we bring you the song, What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Before we end our program, we have an announcement for you.
The Academy for the Love of Learning is recruiting young people ages 14 to 20 for a paid youth planning board learning opportunity.
The board will help the Academy design, plan, and facilitate their first youth summit, which will be from August 2nd through August 6th.
To design and plan the summit, the board will meet 1 to 3 times a month for 10 months. All board members will be compensated.
If you would like to learn more about this opportunity, visit their website at aloveoflearning.org. Again, that is aloveoflearning.org. We hope you've enjoyed this hour of community action. We'd like to thank our guests, Arturo Sandoval, Kateri Zuni, and Jose Castro.
Tonight's Hour of Radio was produced by Roberta Rael and Barbara Ramirez, with production assistance from Ariana Cordova and editing support from Roman Garcia. Thank you to our interviewers, Victor Torres, and my co-host, Elijah Cage.
We want to give a big shout out to all of our youth producers. We cannot do what we do without you. Generation Justice would also like to thank KUNM for bringing the voices of young people to you, KUNM listeners.
Our website is generationjustice.org, where you can check out all of our multimedia work and listen to our podcasts, which are also available on SoundCloud, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
We're also active on social media. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and follow our playlist on Spotify.
Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, with additional funding from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, Con Alma Health Foundation, the New Mexico Department of Health Infectious Disease Bureau through the Better Together program, and Office of School and Adolescent Health.
As well as the City of Albuquerque, Race Forward, Media Justice, and of course all of you who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking donate.
Our opening song is Youth of the Nation by POD. I'm Lily Lukow.
And I'm Elijah Cage. Coming up on KUNM is Spoken Word. So stay tuned and join us next Sunday at 7 o'clock.
Happy Earth Day and good night, New Mexico.